this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Monday to you. Well, when you think about it, and you're a Christ follower, you know this is true, that God is at work in every culture, every city, every nation, to bring people to himself. And so today I'm excited to talk with a woman who's traveled to the Amazon to see how God is moving in a forgotten people group, and how what she saw there, what she learned there, really renewed her hope in the gospel and the understanding of God's heart for his people. She's going to be a featured speaker at the upcoming Set Apart Conference, which is coming up here in the Twin Cities in a couple of weeks. And just a second hour note, just want to let you know, my friend Jackson Dunn of Focus on the Family will be here to talk about his experience. He's an adult child now, of course. Think about this. But he's, even now in this day, as a grown man, a husband, and a father, so deeply impacted by some of the choices made when he was young by his parents. And he loves his parents. They've got a great relationship, but there was infidelity, there was divorce. And the ripple effect of that is so deep in him that he fights for marriages, fights for families. And his story is so raw and personal that you won't want to miss that. That's second hour. So here is my question, though, for you before we get Kelly Minter on, my first hour guest. Do you think you can make it to the Set Apart Conference here in the Twin Cities in 2 weeks? It's right across the street from the radio station at the university. Can you make it? Because if you can, we've got 4 tickets to give away. So the first 2 to call me, you get a pair of tickets. You can pick which day, Friday or Saturday. On your mark, get set. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. You don't have to get on the air. I just want to know that you can make it. So these 2 tickets will go to you. You'll have a day full of worship, of teaching. You're going to love it. Fellowship. I'm speaking there as well. Would love to meet you face to face. Here's the number again, 877-933-2484. Okay, let me tell you about my guest and we'll get her on the show. Kelly Minter is an author, speaker, Bible teacher, and musician. Her books include The Fitting Room, Wherever the River Runs, and Water into Wine, Hope for the Miraculous in the Struggles of the Mundane. You can find her on the web at kellyminter.com. Kelly, welcome to the program, and so nice to meet you.
Hey, thanks, Susie. I'm excited to be on today.
Yeah, well, we love to start out all of our conversations talking scripture. We love the Word of God. I know you do as well. So wondering if there's either a life verse you can share with us or just a verse that you've been sort of pondering these days.
Oh, man. Goodness, I feel like there are so many different ones at different times. But something that I've been thinking a lot about is in Psalm 16, verse 6, where it talks about the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, mm-hmm. and about the delightful inheritance we have in the Lord. And just really thinking about that, especially as knowing some people that are in some really difficult times and then some people that are in really great times, and how those boundary lines, as long as we're living within the boundary lines the Lord has put for us, that they're pleasant. And mm-hmm. so I've just been working that through in my mind.
Mm, so good. And I know you were raised in a Christian home, but I'd love just a little backstory on your faith as far as when Jesus became your own and you became just passionate and wholeheartedly, you know, committed to him as he is to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, Susie, it's funny, because I really don't remember ever not knowing about the Lord. I don't remember not believing because I was so little when my parents introduced me to the Lord. But As with anything, certain things happen in your life, and certain struggles or challenges mm-hmm. happen, and then you begin to think like, okay, wait, do I really believe what this says? Do I really believe this? And so, I would say that the Lord has always been real to me, but that has been an evolving process. We're on pilgrimage here, we're on journey. So mm-hmm. as things happen, as life happens, and there are certain times where you have to struggle more and with your faith. And so for me, I had actually experienced quite a bit of anxiety and depression that was pretty acute when I was growing up. And so I really dug into the scriptures and dug into my faith in high school and in college, and then moved to Nashville a number of years ago and signed a record deal, and then lost a record deal and had to deal just financially and career-wise with what the Lord was doing, and that was another major point in life where I thought, okay, what do I believe, you know, and and what do I think about the Lord at this time? And so like anybody, different times that have really deepened my faith.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about how true this is, that, you know, our wins do make us happy, but our losses are what make us real, you know, because, and you're so raw about that in your book, and I appreciated that so much, because from, especially with Upfront Ministry stuff, when people hear stories about record deals or book deals, it can seem like it's all peaches and cream, but it just absolutely isn't, and it's so relative to everybody else's success, so to speak. There's wins and losses in it all, but it's really shaped you to be the woman that you are, hasn't it? I mean, the losses and the wins.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No question about it. And you know, sometimes it's in those times of loss, we draw closer to the Lord because we're more aware of our desperation, and he can seem even more close to us in those times. And I've even found it that sometimes it's in those times of peace and comfort and rest that it's even harder for me sometimes to draw close to the Lord because I don't sense my need for him as much. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's one of those, you know, you don't want the hard times, but you also, or at least for me, I always appreciate just how the richness of fellowship that I have with the Lord in those hard times.
Oh, so true. So true. Well, talk about your trip to the Amazon. I got a good chuckle as I just so related to you, really feeling called to go, but feeling anxious about going. And just talk about that trip of what it meant to you.
Well, I have actually taken 9 trips to the Amazon, and
So you're no pro now, right?
Well, I don't know. No, it's one of those things. In fact, I just got back from the Amazon just a few days ago, as a matter of fact. But the more I go, the more I realize what I don't understand about it, and what's the Lord showing me. But yeah, the very first time that I was asked to go, I was actually going through a time of real mental instability, just real. Struggling with depression, struggling with anxiety, and the thought of going to the Amazon jungle was sort of the last place on the globe that felt like a good thing, you know, for me to do. But the Lord ended up truly giving me what I needed when I went, and I had real peace. And I have to tell you, it's one of those things, and I think this is where the grace of God just comes in, depending on what he's calling us to. But there was a certain measure of familiarity and peace in that part of the world for me, even though I had never been before. And I think some of it had to do with growing up as a kid, my parents would take us to rivers and lakes and the beach and things for vacation. We usually would go someplace where there was water. And so the Amazon River felt kind of, in a strange way, sort of familiar to me, and even being out on the boat. And I think that was just one of those graces that the Lord gave me to kind of connect with that area. And so the Lord gave me a great peace, and he gave me a passion for this people. And I'm not sure I can even explain it to you, Susie. I mean, I wish that, I could jump on the program and say, oh, this makes perfect sense to me why I'm in the Amazon. And because it doesn't really, you know, I mean, there are times where I was sitting actually in the jungle last week and talking with people, and I'm thinking, Lord, what in the world? How did I get here, and what am I doing? And I'm the last person that should be down here. And yet, I think it's out of that weakness that the Lord calls us so often.
Yeah, isn't that
and
true?
And so that's at least my experience at this point.
Mm. Love this from your book. I'd love for you to comment on it. You wrote, I would later understand that most of the jungle mothers aren't unfriendly or disengaged. They're just tired, and they're pretty low on hope. If all the wealth, comfort, and resources of living in America were tipped away, what would I have? Whatever Jesus came to offer has to be enough for both me and those women in the jungle. If the good news of the gospel is only good in America, then it's not good. I want you to unpack that a little more, if you would.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, this is something that I struggle with a great deal, because I think sometimes what's happened in Western Christianity, just kind of in our affluent culture, is we have made our Christianity, we've entangled it with the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, we have this form of Christianity that where we believe in Jesus, and we believe in forgiveness of sin, and we believe in that God blesses obedience. But also entangled with all of that is, but we also want safety, and we want health, and we want beautiful homes, and we want nice cars, and we want a lot of money in our bank account. We want to have a good retirement. And, you know, and we kind of have somehow woven this almost into our Christianity, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the jungle and I got to be in front of lots of unbelievers, but certainly a lot of Christians that do not have any of the things that I deemed important as far as materialism was concerned, I realized, well, what gospel am I going to bring? Am I going to bring what Christianity looks like in America, or am I going to bring the pure gospel? And I realized that, and it's not to at all say that we don't have a pure Christianity here, because I believe that we do, but we muddy it sometimes with these other things. And so I'm honestly, after all these years, still very much working this through, but I was actually able to teach the women on Psalm 16 about those boundary lines falling in pleasant places just a couple weeks ago. And it was interesting because I really was able to say, and I think they were able to receive, that even though their lives are difficult in comparison to what we would what we have, they really experience those boundary lines as being pleasant because it's where God has placed them, and God's presence is truly their portion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I end up learning, I think, so much more from them than even what I can give them. And it's helped me walk away and look at my life and say, okay, Lord, is my hope in my stuff? Is my hope in a career? Is my hope in my quote-unquote success, in my finances? Or is my hope really in you? Are you really my portion? And so honestly, I think that they've taught me more about that than sometimes I feel like I get to teach them
mm-hmm.
about the word, if that makes sense. So I'm working that out. I mean, I'm working that out because, sometimes we let the American dream, it sneaks into our Christianity and we kind of make it part of our Christianity, but that's really different than the Lord just really truly being our joy and our hope and our portion.
It so is different. And it's like if we're propped up by those things, we really, really don't understand that the anchor holds, because those things just as quickly can go away. And if we're mm-hmm. shifting our weight onto those things, we will crumble when those things crumble. And so for the sake of just His word, for our influence in the world, and for just even the times that are to come, we need to know that it's more than deeper than that, you know?
Yes, yes.
Wow, you met a young man named Alexio. I think I'm saying his name right. Is that right?
Yeah, well, they kind of make that X silent. It's kind of funny. So I think the way that I've heard it is Alexio.
Alexio.
But it looks like Alexio, for sure.
Okay, very good. Would you mind telling that story? He just won my heart. But tell that story and just how it impacted you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was standing in a school leading some worship in a small school in the jungle, and it was right during one of the worst floods that they had had. And the Amazon does flood every year, but this was one of the worst on record in many years. And the water was just inches from entering the school, and what I found out later, inches from entering this boy Alicia's home. And I think at the time he was about 12 or 13. And anyhow, as I was leading the worship, all the kids were so happy, they were so carefree, but he was so just downcast, and you could tell that he was really burdened. And so I grabbed him afterward and had a translator with me, and I just asked him, I said, hey, I just noticed that you seemed so heavy-hearted and just wanted to see, you know, what's going on. And he was very, very shy, and he stared at the ground and didn't say much. But he said, you know, I am burdened. The water is about to come into the house that I live in. He says, I have, I can't remember, something like 9 brothers and sisters or 10 brothers and sisters. And the oldest one had gone into the city, and his father was not there, which is common a lot of the times there. And so basically the well-being of this home sort of fell to this 12 or 13-year-old, and you could tell that he was carrying the weight of his mother and his siblings. And so I began to think, like, you know, a good American thinks. I was thinking, okay, well, how – and what, it's not a bad way, but I was just thinking, okay, how can we fix this? How can we – you know, do we need to try to jack his house up? What kind of money does he need? Do we need to give him food bags? Does he need some clothes? Tide him over? Just, you know, can we plank up the house? Like, what do we need to do, basically? How can we fix this? And so after I kind of rattled off several options, I then told him, because I really felt the Holy Spirit pricking my heart for him, and I said, you know, I really sense that you're to be connected with the church that's in this village, that you're to be connected with the pastor, and that you are to be a leader in this community, and that the Lord is raising you up. And I'll never forget his words back to me. He said to me, no one has ever seen me before. God sent you to see me. And I realized that more so than any of the fix-it stuff that I could offer, more so than any of the money or material possessions or even quick fixes that I could offer, he was desperate to know that Creator God, in the middle of a flood and in the middle of hardship, saw him and was acquainted with him and had not forgotten him. And so that was profound. That was profound for me, and just such a blessing to be used in that way in that moment, but also to be reminded that that is really the ache of our heart, even more so than for our circumstances to be fixed.
Yeah.
It is to know God and to be known by him, and that is the cry of humanity.
So true. And Kelly, a part of that story that just makes me smile, but I feel like is just as important, is your internal battle tonight, because you were saying something to the effect that I'm from a conservative persuasion. I don't bring words to people. And you were kind of that internal battle of going, I sense the Lord is saying this to you. And so you started out with wanting to tangibly help him, which is great. But really what fed him was the nudge of the Holy Spirit in you to give him the word that he needed to hear. And I just would love for you just to say a little more about that, because every one of us make ourselves available to be used of God, he's going to nudge us outside our comfort zone, but he knows what people need, doesn't he?
Yes, absolutely. And you see the Spirit leading, you know, throughout the Scripture. I don't know why sometimes we have a hard time with that, because it's so clear that we are to know the voice of the Lord, and that the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to be a counselor and a guide and a teacher. And in my background, it was like you didn't really go on those kinds of hunches, if you will. And yet, and of course, we always have to align it with the Word of God.
Definitely.
Every time there's something that we sense the Lord is directing us, if it's contrary to God's Word, then we know that that's not the Holy Spirit. So I'm certainly not talking about anything outside of that. But in that moment, I mean, the Lord really did pierce my heart for him. And when I came back the next year, he had been baptized and was helping with the youth in his church. And so it was really cool to see him step out into that.
That's so amazing. You have another really cool story that I think you've titled a chapter over it as well, Releasing Worship to the Poor. Talk about that one, if you would.
Mm-hmm. Well, the founder of our ministry was a man by the name of John Pack, and he ran Kingsway Music, which is now Integrity. So he oversaw the publishing of songs like In Christ Alone and Here I Am to Worship and 10,000 Reasons. I mean, just an amazing man. And he had actually been given a prophecy that God wanted him to release worship to the poor. And he thought, well, how in the world am I going to do that as a record company guy? Like, am I going to give CDs to poor people? And then if I do that, they're not going to have CD players. And what does this even mean? And so he forgot about it. And it was a year later that he was standing in the Amazon jungle in a school that was so hot, and you know, the kids were crammed in there, and they were in desperate need of a new school building and of a good teacher. And he said, up popped those words about it's time to release worship to the poor. And I think for John, the whole idea for him was that worship was not just about passing out music to those impoverished. It was literally about us worshiping by providing justice and providing education and opportunity and love and the gospel message to those who are suffering, to those who are forgotten. And then in turn, then they are able to walk out and worship. They are able to live their lives in worship. And so, that whole idea has been even evolving for us. And in fact, I just got back from the Amazon where we had our fourth annual Jungle Pastors Conference, which is so funny to me, but part of the Jungle Pastors Conference. But here we were teaching and ministering to jungle pastors and their wives, and they're the ones going really deep into the jungle and in a sense, releasing worship to the poor, you know, just teaching them about who Jesus is, his love for them, and allowing that their worship to be expressed. So
wow.
It's exciting. It's exciting. It's a huge task that overwhelms me, I think, at times. And I, like I said, I sometimes I'm like, Lord, I think that you maybe meant to get somebody else.
Kelly
that.
Minter in Cincinnati, not Tennessee.
Exactly.
I love it, though, but if you wouldn't have made yourself available, you could have come up with all kinds of reasons and excuses that you shouldn't do that first trip. But, you know, that's just how it goes. It's like taking the next step and then the next step. And now you look over your shoulder all these years later, Kelly, at the number of trips you've taken, at the people you're investing in, and even how you've taken the jungle back with you and it's impacted your message to America. Isn't that just how God works when we just take that next step he gives us to take?
Yeah, you know what? It's so true. And I think these next steps, sometimes there's almost always there's this time, this journey, and like even a few years go by, and sometimes you forget to look back and really see how amazing it is. Because it's really only been, I think, almost coming up on 6 years that I started going to the Amazon. Mm. And when I look back, I think, Lord, look at what you've done. Mm. Look at all these jungle pastors and their wives we've been able to minister to, and the building of schools and hiring wonderful staff on the ground, and the relationships that we've made, and the how you've worked in our hearts and in our lives. And you're so exactly right. It's that one step. And I will just share with the listeners today that something that blessed me so much in getting to the Amazon the first time was actually out of the book of Judges. And it's when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and calls him this mighty warrior, and Gideon says, "No, I don't think I'm the right guy. I'm actually hiding in a wine press right now." Mm. And the angel of the Lord just simply says to Gideon, "Go in the strength that you have." And I remember just those words coming out from off the pages of scripture, just saying to me, "Kelly, I know you're low in strength, but just go in the tiny bit of strength that you have. Go with whatever you have, and I will supply all the rest." Because that was the idea with Gideon, is he didn't have enough strength to do what the angel of the Lord was asking him to do. But all the Lord was looking for was just the little strength that he had. And then he did the rest.
I got to tell you, when I read that part in your book, I've got a major task ahead of me. And just as you were describing how those words leapt off the page, they leapt off off of your page to my heart. And it was just, for me, also a word. And it's all I needed, because faith accompanied it. You know what I mean? Where I knew God was saying, this is true for you too. So trust me in this, one step at a time. And it just, I can't even thank you enough for sharing that story. Well, we just have about a minute and a half before we have to say goodbye to you. And it's been such a sweet time, gone so fast. But I'm going to just read one more excerpt and have you just share a little bit about the set apart, what your message that you're bringing. But I got to leave our listeners with this part from your book. "I returned home from the jungle with more of an urgency, a deeper sense of what it means to steward this brief hour we call life. It was Jesus who said that we are to do his work while it is still day. And as long as I have breath, I want to make the daylight count, whether at home or in the Amazon." I love that. So just say just a word about what you're going to bring to the Set Apart Conference.
Well, I'm super excited. I'm going to be out of the book of Nehemiah and going to get kind of a two-part message. I think one of those segments is I'm going to be talking about a mission and how we need to be stepping out, whether it's overseas or right in our own backyards. In fact, for most of us, it's going to be right where we live, and sometimes that's even the harder place to step out. But it's the most joyful. Oh, there's so much joy when we give our lives away and when we're able to reach out. So I'm going to be talking about that. And I'm also going to be talking about the God who rebuilds, because as so many of us, and I know I've been there at so many times, so I just feel so broken and so broken down, and how the Lord rebuilt not just a wall, but really restored a people group. The people in the book of Nehemiah were living in disgrace, and God just rolled that disgrace off of them. And so we're going to talk about just the God who doesn't just build, but who rebuilds. And so I think it'll be a really encouraging time. I know that we're going to have a great weekend, so I really hope that you all can make it.
Indeed, and I look forward to meeting you face-to-face as well.
Yes, me too,
yeah,
Susie.
It's going to be a great conference. So that's coming up March 6th and 7th. I know you might be listening from out of town, but you still got time to make some plans. Come into town for a great conference Set Apart March 6th and 7th. You'll find more information on our website, myfaithradio.com. I've been talking to Kelly Minter. Title of her book is Wherever the River Runs, How a Forgotten People Renewed My Hope in the Gospel. Kelly, great conversation. God bless you, dear sister.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
We'll meet you in a couple weeks. All right. Well, coming up next for the second half, I'll be talking to my friend Jimmy Page about faith and fitness, physical, spiritual disciplines, and why they matter. We're kicking off our first week of the Commit to Live Fit journey. So don't go away. Jimmy Page is up next.